Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's
Taz and Moose. Hey. On a Tuesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Draft is 48-plus hours away, NFL Draft, first round Thursday night. Let's welcome aboard right now Ryan Wilson, covers the NFL Draft for CBSSports.com. Hey, Ryan, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes again this
What's
morning,
up,
bud.
Ryan?
Appreciate it.
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's
do
going
well.
On, man?
Do well. What do you make? You know, Taz and I talked a lot about it yesterday. You know, your compatriot over there at CBS Sports, and Pete Prisco reporting that from his understanding that the Cardinals are not going to take Kyler Murray number one overall. Where, you know, after it seemed like a foregone conclusion, what do you believe in terms of everything coming out of Arizona right now?
I believe Pete, and I believe that Pete believes who he's talking to, and I asked Pete straight up, I said, give me a percentage of how sure you are you're not being smokescreened. And he said, I'm 90% sure, 90. And he said, if I'm not, I'm going to go back and I'll be dropping some expletives. But he makes a compelling case, but then you other people that are tied in just as well as Pete is, and Pete's been around forever, he knows everybody, you hear them saying different things. I am not tied in as well as Pete, and I'm honestly at the point where I don't know what to believe. I still think I'm leaning towards Kyler Murray about 65%. I think it happens unless there's a trade offer that changes their mind. It's just a weird, awkward situation. On the one hand, you're not sure. On the other hand, why would Josh Rosen show up for work
right.
if they haven't said something to him about, listen, we're just doing this to make this team better for you? The other hand, why all the subterfuge? And, you know, I get it in terms of leverage, but at some point, you're a 3-win football team. Why don't you focus on that? So I honestly don't know. I don't think they should take Kyler Murray. I like Kyler Murray, but you have Josh Rosen. If Josh Rosen came out this year, he would be the first quarterback taken. You got the quarterback there. He can run the air raid offense. That's not a concern. Fix everything else. And then if you want to play games, you can do that next year when you're a better football team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We were talking, you know, Ryan Moose and I were yesterday a lot about this, you know, about what, you know, Pete Prisco said, his report and all that stuff. And it's just, it's weird, you know, like, you know, why wouldn't they just, you know, Kingsbury comes in, he knows at that time Rose is the quarterback of the Cardinals, so he's going to inherit him. So I don't think he would have taken a job if he doesn't think he could have done something to coach this kid up. And then once he realizes, okay, hey, look, Murray's going to be available. He's not going to play baseball for the Oakland A's and all this jazz. And next thing you know, like, the management and him, like, the narrative to the public has been, as you know, well, Josh Rosen's our quarterback for now. I mean, so now if this don't happen, they don't take Kyler Murray, okay? You got to try to repair that, right? Doesn't that damage a kid's psyche like Rosen? He's got to be a little disgruntled, wouldn't you think?
You'd think, that's right. And not only, I mean, look, he was playing on a team that couldn't figure out how to use David Johnson last year. So there's a lot to fix.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of reasons for him to be gun-shy. He took a beating back there because the offensive line wasn't very good. It's one thing after the next. And I think you're exactly right, Tess. Listen, if you bring in Cliff Kingsbury for an interview,
right,
and Kyler Murray's still committed to baseball, why are you talking about Kyler Murray potentially being drafted? You're talking about, okay, this is the first question you ask in that sort of interview. Can you work with Josh Rosen? Can you make him better?
Right.
Yes or no? If yes, go here. If no, there's the door.
Exactly.
And, you know, now we're having this whole big deal because back in October, Cliff Kingsbury said he would take Kyler Murray first overall, back when he was a Texas Tech coach and had no idea that Kyler Murray wasn't playing baseball. It's a lot of moving parts, and I wouldn't take Josh Rosen. I wouldn't take Kyler Murray. But it feels like that's what they're going to do. But maybe that's just a function of us being beaten over the head by the media machine, of which we're a big part of.
Right.
But as of right now, I feel like they're probably going to take Kyler Murray.
You know, Ryan, do you think the Giants will draft a quarterback with either one of their first two picks?
They should. They should take Dwayne Haskins as number six if he's there. You get the impression, publicly, listening to Dave Gettleman, that they're more interested in beefing up the lines, both the offensive and defense. And the offensive and defensive lines need beefing up. So my latest mock draft, I think, comes out either today or tomorrow. I'm taking Ed Oliver at number six, which makes some sense. I mean, again, not a very good football team. And then at number 17, through a function of things that happens ahead of them, Daniel Jones is there. I like Daniel Jones in the second round. I don't love him in the first round, but it feels like the Giants are pretty high on him. Going back to the Senior Bowl when I was there, that was a big talking point, that the Giants really, really like Daniel Jones. He's a David Cutcliffe guy, so he reminds people of Peyton and Eli Manning. He's a more athletic Eli Manning in my mind. He's not Peyton Manning. And he made a lot of mistakes at Duke, and the question then becomes for NFL teams, is that a function of playing for a not very good Duke team, or is that just who Daniel Jones is? So you got to figure that out. I would take Dwayne Haskins number 6, and then I wouldn't have to worry about it. But, you know, if you want to do all these mental gymnastics about talking yourself into Daniel Jones at 6 or 17, you know, Dave's going to want to do that. I think they need a quarterback, but if they went offensive line or defensive line at number 6, it wouldn't totally shock me.
I mean, this is, and as you know, Ryan, this draft is chock full of excellent defensive linemen. I mean, so it's like, I mean, it's almost like splitting hairs. Which one's better than who, right? So
yeah.
You kind of can't go wrong. I mean, who would you go as your top, you know, defensive tackle coming out? Would it be Quinnen Williams? Would it be Oliver? Well, you know, who would it be in your opinion?
The number one player in this draft in my mind is Quinnen Williams. If I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I take Quinnen Williams and go to sleep at night as Steve Keim, the general manager, and know that I'm not going to get fired in the next morning or a year from now. He is that good. I mean, you pair him with Terrell Suggs and Chandler Jones, and suddenly the defense is fixed. Mm. Boom, done. Then you can focus on the rest of your draft on making Josh Rosen
right.
Have put players around him. Any of the top four picks, if they don't take Quinnen Williams when he's on the board, the general manager should be fired. He is that good. He's a game changer. There are no questions about anything. Nick Bosa is a fantastic talent, but is he durable enough? We know he only played 3 games.
Yeah, we didn't see him play much.
That's
this right. Year,
right. His brother has struggled with injuries. Is it a family thing or not? Who knows? But I know one thing. When I see Quinnen Williams out there, no one can block him, and you can't even double team him. So,
yeah,
done.
All right, so Quinnen Williams is your best overall player in this draft. A couple players. How about Allen out of Kentucky? You know, some people love him, some people don't. What's your take on the edge rusher and the former Kentucky Wildcat?
I like him a lot. The Jets reportedly aren't crazy about him, so maybe that's not someone they target at number 3 should they still be there. But look, he returned to Kentucky, put on 15 pounds of muscle, went from 235, 240 to about 260, and he just took over games. And he is incredibly fast off the edge. He can drop into coverage if that's what you want him to do. He needs to work on his pass rush moves, but that'll come. But just the athleticism jumps off the screen at you. And in an era where you need pass rushers in this pass-happy NFL, it's insane to think that you wouldn't take him top 5, top 10, worst case. If he gets past number 5, I would be really shocked. But I like him. I'm big on Josh Allen. He's a top 5 guy for me.
You listen to Taz and Moose. Our special guest right now is Ryan Wilson. Covers the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports. Ryan, I'll throw something at you on as far as tight ends. Several really good tight ends in this draft, and 2 of them actually from the same school, from Iowa, Hockenson and Noah Fant. Which way would you go as far as these two? Which one would you say would go higher, would go quicker than the other?
It's funny you say that because there are mixed opinions around the league. So you take Noah Fant if you're an Evan Ingram fan. If you're looking for a tight end that's not necessarily an inline guy, you can line up anywhere, runs a 4-5, stretches the field, that type of guy, you take Noah Fant. And both guys are first-round talents, and there are reasons to love them for different reasons. If you are more of a traditional tight ends guy, you want someone who can block a little bit and then do all the things that someone like Travis Kelce does, you take T.J. Hockenson. And I have T.J. Hockenson going to the Jaguars at number 7. They need a right tackle, but they need a tight end in the worst way. If you're going to put all your chips in on Nick Foles, you might as well surround him with people who can play football.
That offensive line, though, in Jacksonville is terrible, though.
It's bad.
It's hugely terrible. So you could take Juwan Taylor, the right tackle there. But if you want to take Hockenson and keep your fingers crossed, you can get a right tackle later.
You know, the Bills, too, you know, Hockenson. He could end up with the Bills at that 9 spot.
Yeah.
That could happen.
And the thing is, you send him somewhere like Buffalo. Guess what? Josh Allen's job just got incredibly easier.
Yeah.
You're not asking him to stand around there in the pocket and take a beating. Just dump the ball off to guys like Hockenson and or Fant.
Yeah.
And another landing spot for those guys could be at number 12 at Green Bay or number 30 at Green Bay. They have 2 first-round picks should they end up still be on the board at that point.
Yeah, you know, there have been a lot of reports, Ryan, out of Florham Park. I mean, we're going back now 6-7 weeks that McCagnan wants to trade out of that number 3 pick, that he's looking to add draft assets, and he doesn't have a second-round draft choice. What do you think the Jets end up doing with that third overall pick? And would there be a team? And what player do you think would have to be there for a team to be willing to trade up for the third overall pick?
Kyler Murray doesn't go number one. Mike McCagney is extremely happy. He's making double-checking to make sure his phone's on. Because if there's a team, and it could be the team right behind the Oakland Raiders, that is in love with Kyler Murray, that's something to keep an eye on. Another team, our guy Jason Lockham-Ford, CBS Sports, wrote about this yesterday. He said that the Redskins at 15 love Dwayne Haskins, and they might be interested in trading up even as far as to number three to make sure that no one else gets Dwayne Haskins. Because we're at the point in the conversation pre-draft-wise where either Haskins is going three or he's going 32. So you don't know where NFL teams truly feel about this. But JLC mentioned that that could be a potential trading partner for the Jets. If the Jets trade down, I feel like I've heard that they want offensive line help. And as you point out, they want to recoup that second-round pick that they gave up last year to move up and get Sam Darnold.
You know, Ryan, who's your top-rated quarterback?
Dwayne Haskins is my number one guy.
And is it close between him and Murray?
Yeah, very close.
What separates the two in your mind?
Dwayne Haskins, look, if you're looking for a traditional guy, Dwayne Haskins is that, 6'3", 235, whatever he is. But, you know, they say he's not very mobile. He is mobile.
He is mobile. I agree with you. He is mobile. He definitely
can move
mobile.
Inside the pocket. He's very savvy moving inside the pocket. He's extremely accurate. He can throw different arm angles. He's not the deep ball thrower with consistency that Drew Lock is, for example, but he wasn't asked to do a lot of that. But, I mean, 70% completion percentage, 50 touchdowns, all in 1 year work. And if he goes to somewhere like the Giants, he doesn't have to play immediately. They can do with him what they did with Eli back in 2004. Let him sit behind Kurt Warner, bring him in week 7, week 8, even 2020, it doesn't matter. I just feel like the ceiling, or the floor, excuse me, is not as low as it could be for Kyler. Because Kyler could be the next best quarterback we've ever seen, or he could be RG3. We don't know. I feel there's less variability with what we could have in Dwayne Haskins.
And you heard that, I'm sure you heard, Ryan, that you know Murray scored the lowest at quarterbacks in that Wonder Lick. I think he had a 20. We talked about it earlier, Moose and I. You put much stock in that or not too much?
Not a lot. I feel like there's a lot to love about Kyler Murray. I was talking to a scout and I asked him, I said, other than being 5'10", what are your concerns? Do you have any concerns with Kyler Murray? He goes, not many. So those two words to me express that NFL teams view him as a legit top-flight prospect. The height's the issue. We'll see. Here's the other thing. He only faced three-man rushes last year because that team was so explosive. So what happens when NFL teams bring four or five guys regularly?
Yeah.
How does Murray handle that? And I feel like Dwayne Haskins has seen more traditional defenses, and he'll have a better idea of what to expect at the next level.
You know, if you're a team in search for a wide receiver and a big play wide receiver, we know he's got the body of a Greek guy. What about Metcalf coming out of Ole Miss?
I love Metcalf. He's my number one receiver. A 4.33 at the combine. We saw what he looked like with his shirt off. There are concerns that durability the biggest concern. He only played a few games his freshman year, played 7 games last year because of the neck injury. And again, a neck injury is also a big issue if you're playing tackle football. So that I think that more than anything, than being a raw NFL, a raw prospect, concerns NFL teams. Ole Miss didn't have a super fancy offense. They ran some pretty simple routes. And I know that sort of frustrated NFL teams in terms of trying to evaluate exactly what he can do. But I'll say this, every time I watch DK Metcalf play, he is dominating somebody. And yes, he's not going to run a bunch of crossing routes, but that's not what he is supposed to do. He's supposed to run deep post-corner routes and beat people, and he did it. So if that's something you're looking for, I think it makes a lot of sense to look at DK Metcalf. Here's the thing, though. I think this wide receivers class is deep, but there are no real superstars outside of DK and possibly Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma. These guys may not get off the board until starting around 15 with the Redskins, depending on what Washington wants to do. And in my latest mock draft, I actually had DK falling out of the first round through no fault of his own, but just from other teams focusing on other needs. And the only wide receiver I had going was Marquise Brown, who's 5'9", 166 pounds, which creates a whole bunch of other issues.
Mm. We're talking with our special guest, Ryan Wilson, covers the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports. So, Ryan, if we could just circle back real quick on defensive line play. You know, two guys that I love a lot, and Moose and I talked about these two cats a lot, these two kids out of Clemson, Wilkins and Lawrence, you know, both excellent players. I mean, some have them going around 18, 20, 25, 26, respectively. Why do you think these two guys are not going high? I mean, I don't know what – you're coming out of Clemson, and we've all – geez, just like past couple of years, all we've all talked about is how awesome that front four D line is. I mean, what do you think it is with Wilkins and Lawrence, why they're not top 10 guys.
No, I mean, that's a great point. And I think the issue is that they're not incredibly dynamic like Quinnen Williams, or they're not doing what Ed Oliver does and just blowing up centers after snap by snap. Dexter Lawrence is 340, so their questions are, is he a three-down player? He is. And then Christian Wilkins doesn't flash. He's not a flashy guy. But you look at the numbers.
Man, they make plays.
They make play after play. So
they do.
Pro Football Focus, the stats, and the football analyst guys, they do the advanced metrics is what the word I'm looking for. Quinnen Williams is number one in run stopping and pass rush. Number two in both those metrics, Christian Wilkins. So
That's what I'm saying.
He is not far behind Quinnen Williams, and he does so many things well. Came back for his senior season, which turned out to be his most productive season.
And the guy off the edge, not to interrupt, Farrell, we didn't see, from Clemson, another guy.
Another guy. That's right. And the concern with Farrell is that he's not flexible enough around the edge. I talked to people close to him that said he's plenty flexible.
I could play, man.
And people who pass on him in the top 15 are going to regret it. He could be on the board at 16 in the Panthers would love to see him there, and they would run to the podium to take him.
Ryan, I love Jacobs, the running back out of Alabama. I know he ran a 4.640. I don't care what the 40 times said. You watch enough game film at Alabama, and I'm not telling you that he's going to be Ezekiel Elliott, but I think he's a starting running back in the National Football League. What's your take on Jacobs, the tailback coming out of Bama?
Love him. And you're exactly right. The 4.6, whatever it was, doesn't matter. You watch him play. He's making guys miss in small areas. His jump cut is breaking ankles. And by the way, if you get in front of him, he's going to run you over. He can pass block. He can catch. And also, something else to consider. The two other running backs I like are one of those that I really like, number two, is David Montgomery at Iowa State. And even if you go back to all the Alabama running backs that typically come out in the first or second round, Jacobs has 0 miles on him. He was sharing carries with Damien Harris last year. Going into the season, Damien Harris was the guy we were talking about as possibly a first-round pick. Jacob sort of came into the scene late, played extremely well, big part of that offense. Low mileage, so that's even a better reason if you want to take a gamble on him in the first round. You don't have to worry about him having already logged 400 carries a season for three seasons. He's ready to go, and somewhere like 25 to the Eagles makes a lot of sense, even though I know they just traded for Jordan Howard. But why not? I mean, that is how good he is, and that's how much pressure he would take off Carson Wentz, who's already under the microscope before we get to the season.
Yeah, another guy that running back that out of Kentucky that you don't hear much about. Moose is going to get on me because I always
Benny
talk about
Snell.
I always talk about Benny Snell.
Taz Ryan,
I love him.
Taz, I think owns stock in Benny Snell because as we've gone through this draft process, Taz has talked more about Benny Snell than any other player in this draft.
You know what's funny? I think I talked to you guys when I was in Indy for the combine, and I do think Benny Snell's name came up.
I love him. He's great, man. And then yet he's not projected to go too high, but I'll tell you, I think this guy has the goods, man.
He does. He's a bowling ball. And he's a one-trick pony in the sense that you give him the ball, and he just knocks people down on his way to the first down marker. There's no lot of wiggle in this game, and there are questions about how effective is he in the pass game and all that. And the issue is, and I'm with you, like he's an extremely tough player. Can you find those guys elsewhere? And the answer is typically you can. You can find a handful of them. But listen, he'll have a role for an NFL team. He'll be a day three pick, and he's a guy that can hang around. If he can play special teams, he'll hang around even longer, and he'll get you the short yards.
Right. That's not really a ringing endorsement for my guy.
Not.
Oh, my God. I'll hang around day three and return punts. Killing me.
Ryan, give us a guy. There's always a surprise guy, right? So I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Give us a guy that jumps into the first round that you think that nobody's really talking about right now that maybe people don't have in the first round. And give us a guy, is it Metcalf now, that you think has the potential to fall out of the first round and be sitting there at the top of round number two Friday night?
So Rock Ya-Sin, the cornerback out of Temple, is a guy that a lot of teams love. Had a really good Senior Bowl. He transferred from Presbyterian before the 2018 season. I talked to his teammate, the running back, Rock Armstead, and said he is the most competitive person I've ever been around. He works incredibly hard, but he has the size and the length that NFL teams look for. I think he ran a 4.5 or something at the combine. He can sneak to the first round. I'll give you another name that can sneak to the first round. Darnell Savage, safety out of Maryland, ran a 4.37 at the combine. And you watch him play, and he's a missile back there, and he can play over the slots, we can cover guys for you, and then he can also come down in the run game and really mess things up for the offense. A guy that's falling for me And other teams I know are concerned about this is Greedy Williams, the LSU cornerback, who's arguably the most athletic kid in this class. He also ran a 4.37. He will not tackle anyone, so that's a concern. He's amazing in terms of coverage when he's focused. But if the wide receiver catches the ball, then your question is, all right, who's going to come over and help him bring him down? Because it's not clear that Greedy's going to be that guy. But he's an amazing talent. You can coach him up. He's a first-round pick. I just don't know if he's going to go in round one. He might be there early in round two.
Ryan, what's your take on Ed Oliver? Taz and I were talking about him earlier on in the program. You have him going to the Giants at 6. There are reports the Raiders love him, reports that the Jets love him with the 3rd overall pick. Down year this past year at Houston, had issues with Major Applewhite as well. What's your take? People have compared him, it's an unfit. I hate when people compare him to guys. I mean, but they're comparing him to the best defensive lineman in the National Football League about what he can do and Aaron Donald. What's your take on what Ed Oliver is as an NFL defensive lineman?
I love Ed Oliver. I have zero concerns about what I'm calling puffy coat gate, where he and Applewhite had the falling out. I don't know why he wore a puffy coat in Houston in October, but whatever. He played over the center in college, which is where he is not going to play in the NFL. That said, he dominated centers play after play, just pushed them into the backfield. He'll be a three-technique guy. He'll be shooting gaps. He weighed about 285, I think, at his pro day. I don't think he'll be able to maintain that weight. I'm okay with that because there are reports, to go back to Aaron Donald, that he only weighed 265-ish last year at times. So you can play it that way. He ain't Aaron Donald, but he is that type of quickness, that type of strength. And I think he gets after it, and I think you can move him anywhere. And that versatility makes him so attractive, go along with the quickness and the athleticism.
And final one, Ryan, is you think that if people play to their boards, that only two quarterbacks should be drafted in the first round Thursday night, right? Haskins and Kyler Murray, that's it?
I would take Locke in the bottom half of the first round, but I think what's going to happen is the four guys are going to end up going.
And you think Jones is going to be that fourth guy?
That's right. And I think that teams just can't help themselves, and they're going to take a gamble on them. And I think those four guys will be off the board.
Yeah, but Ryan, Taz and I talk about it all the time. Why do teams do this? I mean, why do you reach for guys, Ryan? I know it's not easy, and teams don't. But why do you reach for guys that shouldn't be drafted where they're getting drafted because of need? Why do you do that?
Because the guys are guys in the front office and the coaching staff don't want to get fired, and they're like, okay, this will work. I promise. I know we can fix them. Blah blah blah, and they do it. And then 4 months in, they're like, oh boy, that was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, and it happens every time and again. Meanwhile, the Patriots, they're trading away their picks. Their draft board is reportedly, in some years, 75 people long. They're not reaching for anybody. Once they're done with that, they're moving on till next year. And, to quote Bill Belichick, they're on to Cincinnati.
And they've got to find themselves a quarterback of the future as well. I know Brady feels like he can always play football, but at some point in time, Father Time's going to catch up with Brady, right?
I had them taking Daniel Jones at the top of the first round in one of my recent mock drafts, not to replace Tom Brady because I think he'll play forever, but just to flip him like they did with Jimmy Garoppolo. They're basically house flippers at this point. They buy up a house, fix it up. In 2 years, they sell it for more than what they paid for it, and Daniel Jones could be the next Jimmy Garoppolo, and they could switch him out for a second-round pick in a couple years if Tom Brady insists on playing. But if not, yeah, then you have Plan B. And maybe Daniel Jones is someone who could thrive in that system.
And right now, Cardinals make their pick Thursday night. You don't think they're taking Murray?
I do. I think I'm leaning towards Murray. 65%.
65% they take Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Ryan, always great catching up with you. We really appreciate the last 20 minutes. Thanks again for the time, and enjoy the draft Thursday night, all right?
Thank you, guys.
Take care, man.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports covers the NFL, the NFL draft.
Snell, yeah. Yeah, no, he's great. He's great. I just wish there's a way that Benny Snell would go in the first round late. It's not going to happen. Just because I want everyone to realize why I'm behind this kid.
I don't know. I know you're a fan, Taz. No one's saying that.
Even
but
Ryan.
You brought every
Ryan Wilson,
NFL, every NFL draft guy we've had, Benny Snell, at some point, early, mid, late, has come up in the conversation.
That's not true.
It pretty much is true.
Stop.
I would say 90% of the NFL draft
true,
guests
Mike?
We've had.
I always bring up Benny Snell. Don't say Snell, yeah.
That's true.
Well,
I found him as lying. Go ahead, what's up?
Whichever NFL team he lands on, that next second they're getting an email so he can come on this show.
That'd be tremendous, actually. Imagine he ends up on the Bills. Well, he's too young to be a running back for the Bills.
He'd be great.
You gotta be
older. And if Benny Snell's not a good radio interview, Tass will be like, Mike, get him off the air. This is terrible radio.
Whose idea was this?
And then you'll never hear from Benny about Benny Snell ever again.
Snell, yeah.
That's how that'll go down, my friends. Now, if he's great, he's great, and I hope he's great.
But
if he's, you know, like a normal 21, 22-year-old soft-spoken kid, you know, whatever. Popping on where he's going to be Odell Beckham Jr. or Antonio Brown.
No, no.
I mean, Mr. Victor.
No, that's
right. So then it'll be like, Mike, this is terrible.
Yes.
Or it'll be like, I'll be asking a question to Taz. I'm done. Got nothing else for him.
Bro, stop.
What? It's funny, dude.
Curtain's coming back heavy.
It's not coming back heavy. No, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
I wanted to ask him.
I put the over-under mentally for myself at a 12-minute mark. Once I opened the door about Josh Jacobs.
That was it. Door was
that
open.
Was right.
It was like
the literal ding. That's what it was. Taz, like, there's my opening. Kick that door down. Benny Snell, here we go, buddy.
Snell, yeah.
And then Ryan was like, yeah. Third day pick.
Yeah, fan of Midland. Third day. Third day. Kicks.
Right.
Maybe practice squad. Could be big for the XFL. Thanks, Ryan. We love you, buddy. Thanks for endorsing my guy.
It's Taz. It's Moose. We'll get into Odell Beckham Jr. As he, claps back. He claps back at Giants GM Dave Gettleman. We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, tonight, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, CBS Sports Network is on the diamond for an in-state matchup between the Nebraska Cornhuskers and the Creighton Blue Jays. Taz will be locked in. Don't miss exciting college baseball action on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
Just telling you, I got to start changing my wardrobe around. I got to start dressing different. I got to start dressing more manly. I'm tired of wearing freaking
comfortable clothes,
sweats, and like I'm dressed like I'm 7 years old. I need to start wearing.
So you're gonna wear what? Work boots?
Yeah,
like
work
you're heading
boots,
to a construction site.
Like Dickies and Carhartt, like these type of canvas clothing.
Nice. That would be very comfortable.
Just with the summer right around the block and nice.
Right. From a guy that
get up a lather while
I'm
working.
Something for one of we're doing something to promote something for one of our affiliates, and Taz is like, I don't feel like getting up.
He means standing up. I didn't want to stand.
Right. That's what I just said. I don't feel like standing up. By the way, we're talking about like our bathrooms before, right? And one of the urinals in one of the men's rooms is out of order. It's got a big plastic garbage bag over it. You know, yesterday.
I use it anyway.
That's disgusting. Anyway, yesterday. So I went to the other bathroom because there was a big, you know, do not enter sign on one of the men's rooms. Initially, right when you get off the elevator here at CBS Sports Radio, right in the hallway, there's a ladies in a men's room. That one was closed, the men's room side.
Yeah.
Because somebody decided to flush something that shouldn't be flushed down the urinal.
Turkey leg.
Right, correct. And so I went to the other bathroom and I had to go. Right?
Oh, you had a go-go.
Right, you had a go-go.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And so I went into the big stall, right? Well, there's a small stall and a big stall. So I went into the big stall.
You're a big man.
And you're putting in, it's just more comfort. So you I'm putting the toilet protector on it, right?
You don't need that stuff.
No, of course you do.
Let's
go,
what
commando.
Are you talking about? In this place?
You give it a shot.
In this building, people don't flush the toilet. They let it ferment.
I've been here for 7 years. I'm fine.
For days.
Stop.
You really don't paper the toilet?
I wipe it off. I don't sit on paper.
That's disgusting. Anyway, but that's besides the
point. I have very strong quads. I could just stay in a squat position.
Do whatever you want to do.
Anyway, in a 45-degree angle, but I continue.
I'm sitting there. I'm putting the stuff down, and someone like basically kicks the door in, and it's Zach Martin.
Thank you.
Bro, are you kidding me?
Right.
And he just front kicked it like he was like.
Well, like, I'm like.
Like a mafia
and
kick?
Luckily, I wasn't sitting there. And then he proceeds.
Really
right. And then I'm like, he goes, I'm sorry. I didn't know anyone was in here. I go. And I go, but I'm not, I was still, I was
you
not.
You dressed.
Yeah, I was not, I did not pull my
you
pants down
to go
to the bathroom.
Off to go to the
no,
bathroom?
I do not. Right. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, then afterward, and then Zach proceeds while I'm trying to go to the bathroom to have a conversation.
Oh, that's not good. I'm not a fan of that.
Talking That's about awful. How quickly he can drop a deuce.
Oh, nice.
Dating back to his days as a disc jockey, 102.7.
That's awesome.
You know, how quickly he can relieve himself.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great to hear.
And then it was promptly done and left the bathroom. Like it, but I don't. That to me is, I don't need to have a conversation. Even if I know somebody and I know them that they're sitting next to me right. in another stall, I'm not looking to have a conversation. It's just like the guy that walks up when you're at the urinal and they decide to have a conversation with you.
Well, it's like the guy that
as
walks,
they then the, and then they're making signs as you know they're making noises as they relieve themselves yeah. and farting. Like, what a segment last night. Nice. Right,
disgusting.
Just letting it all out, and then you're like, wait a second. Like, I'm here to do my job, my business here, and then I'm
I have a segment to go call. Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's like the men. It's like when you go and you stand at the urinal to do number one. And there's, like, these other urinals and stalls, and there's no one else in the bathroom, and then this guy wants to stand right next to me.
You know? That's a problem.
But not at this place, at this place, where there's, like, six urinals.
And they pick the one right next to me.
Yeah, that's a good way to get your ass kicked by a guy like me. So I'm just saying, and I'll throw down in the bathroom. I'll pull my pants down and fight you. I'll take my shirt off, too.
I'll pull my pants down and fight you.
No, I'm used to fighting half naked anywhere. I did this my whole career. I'm in a ring with a singlet on. You know, I'm not afraid to take my shirt off and brawl in the men's room. I have no problem with that. Just don't stand next to me when I'm at the urinal. Don't get on your cell phone at the urinal. That's a no-no. People that have their cell phone in their hand men that do that, don't do that. Don't. That's your bad. Don't do that.
I agree with you.
Don't do that, Moose.
My bads are out the window.
Don't do that. It is dirty. It's filthy. It's disgusting.
It is.
To have Zach Martin even near you in the men's room is something you should have in your agreement next time you sign here.
I just don't need to have a conversation. He said he walked in on Beningo one time, pants down on the toilet, Beningo reading the paper.
I was there for that.
Yeah, reading the paper.
What the hell is going on here?
As he walked right in, and obviously the lock on the stall does not work.
No, but also... I think it's also not a padlock, so Zach's a big dude at full head of steam. He's going through that door no matter what.
No question.
But when I overheard that exchange, and I'm pretty sure Beningo went, bro, again to Zach, as if it happened
first of all, multiple times. You guys have to realize the bulk.
Multiple times he walked in on Beningo relieving himself.
And then three times at least. Sorry, Tess.
The bulk of the people listening to the show have no idea what a Beningo is, so maybe someone should explain.
No, Joe Beningo. We've talked about him before.
But people don't know what that is.
He does middays.
The guy in Lincoln, Nebraska has no idea who that man is.
He does middays on WFAN locally.
He's a radio host. Right, exactly. I just want to get the facts out for the guy about the water. I like facts, Moose. You know how I am. Factually correct on the show, damn it. That's how we do it.
Yes.
So anyway.
That's what I think.
I'm with you. We have the same bathroom etiquette. I understand what you're saying.
Bogus, not paper in the toilet bowl is disgusting.
Yeah.
Do you take a wipe?
Disgusting.
Well, look at it.
Like a Lysol wipe?
Look at the way it looks.
Set it on fire to singe off all the
germs.
Do you
use a Lysol wipe or do you use just the toilet paper?
Just the toilet paper.
That kills no germs.
You can't use a Lysol wipe.
It sweeps them off.
You get irritation. Your cheeks will get irritated.
If I slide off, then there's that film left
behind. You wipe the Lysol wipe and then you can wipe it down. A two-prong process.
That seems like a lot.
Hey, Moose, that's a good idea.
Thank you, Taz.
So you use the Clorox wipe.
You can, to kill the germs.
And then you get the toilet paper.
What's the point of using the
smart?
What's the point of using the toilet paper to wipe down the toilet seat, it kills no germs.
Do you know anyone that's gotten sick from the toilet seat?
Have you noticed anyone that's ever gotten a rash?
No, I don't.
I don't want to be,
no one's
but
ever
here's
shared
the deal.
That with me.
I don't want to be that guy.
Rashes aren't that bad.
I mean.
They have ointments now and ligaments you could use.
You don't want a rash. You'd be complaining about it for days. What are you talking about? You ever caught a rash from the men's room here, Taz? You'd be calling your lawyer so quick, you'd be filing a lawsuit.
You're not kidding. I've caught a rash, just not here.
Right.
And not from the bathroom.
I understand.
Whoa. Many years ago.
You got white, bogus. That's disgusting.
Thanks.
Bad bathroom etiquette. That's nasty.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
nasty.
You obviously, you don't have the leg power, Andrew, to do
obviously
what most men can do. They have the power in their legs to squat and not touch the bowl. Mm. Okay, you got legs like something hanging out of a nest. So that's the problem.
But I have beautiful calves, actually.
Anyway, you got calves like toothpicks. Mm. Here's the thing, my friend. I think Moose Pepper right. You need to put some kind of something on there. I mean, you know, because you're a lean
paper the seat.
You're frail. So you need to have
paper the seat properly.
Yeah,
do yourself a favor.
Who took a sick day on Friday?
Not me.
Who has a sick day on Friday?
No, I was sick because I speak for a living. I'm talking all the time. My lungs sometimes need a break.
So
and my esophagus.
So, right. Well, I mean, we're all ecstatic you brought a sinus infection in. So the sinus infection has nothing to do with whether or not he papered the seat.
Oh, wow.
You
said something protecting me.
Stop.
Look at this. Who's protecting me? He agreed with me.
See what
has
I did for
nothing
you?
To do. Shocking
it's
moment. Nothing. That's the first on the show.
That's disgusting.
Bringing you guys together.
You go to a public bathroom. You go to, not just here, right? I'm talking about, like, a really, you know. Oh, let me ask you this. You go to a Porto John. You're sitting on that seat?
No, I would never go to the bathroom in one of those.
Why not? Just take out some paper towel.
When your kids play sports, if your kids play sports as they get older and they're in tournaments somewhere,
yeah.
You better become friends with the porta potty.
Well, hopefully.
Because it's your friend in the summer.
Hopefully I can do all my business standing up in those porta
potties. Why if your kid plays basketball or hockey, because you're in an arena, then you're in good shape. You have a bathroom.
Right.
You know, otherwise, be great baseball or lacrosse, soccer, forget about it.
What would be great is Bogus trying to stand up in one of those Porto Johns and then it tips over.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, that'd be
loses
great.
His balance.
Not
with these quads.
I had a friend of mine, another lacrosse dad, where they line them up.
Yeah.
And this guy was a nut job, funny guy, friend of mine. So he sees me walk in. He walked out of another one. I didn't see him. So as I'm in there, he's a big dude. He's rocking this freaking
thing. Yeah.
And he's not, I'm like,
around.
I don't know who you
that
are.
Smells so
you
bad.
Need to stop. And I'm trying to, I drink a lot of water and it's everywhere now. So now I see he's laughing his ass
That's
off.
That's great. That's fantastic.
It's a good rip. Yeah, it's funny.
Great.
Yeah,
that
it was very
great.
Funny. He got me good.
Great.
I didn't know who it was. I'm like, whoever this is, it's got to be a pretty big guy because these things are little. And he's moving this thing at will. And I'm like, if this thing falls, whoever it is, we're fighting. With me, with stuff all over me. Well, that didn't happen, thank God. But it was funny, though. So when I hear porta potties, I think of that. Yeah, Andrew, you have disgusting habits and you have bad hygiene.
Yeah,
thanks,
gross.
Guys.
All right, take it away, buddy.
Here's your report, sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Damn.
Ah!
The Bucks are in round two for the first time in forever. Their first postseason series win since 0-1, sweeping the Pistons in Detroit 127-104, with Giannis scoring 41. The Celtics are next. The Rockets, though.
You said Pistons. That's funny. The conversation we just had. Okay. Got it.
What?
No problem. The conversation.
Pistons!
You missed it. Went over your head. All right.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
The Rockets. Still dealing with the Jazz.
James Harden driving, knocked away by O'Neal and stolen. Alley-oop to Donovan. He dunked it. They did it again. They ran another alley-oop in the fourth quarter. The youthful ignorance of Royce O'Neal and Donovan Mitchell. But it worked this time.
David Locke, giddy on Jazz Radio. Almost everything worked in the fourth last night. Utah won the period 31-12 to avoid the sweep 107-91. Donovan Mitchell scored 19 of his 31 in that fourth quarter. Game 5 in Houston tomorrow. Another high seed is out of the NHL playoffs. The Predators done in 6 games, losing in OT to the Wild Card Stars 2-1 in Dallas. And the Capitals still battling the Hurricanes. Carolina forcing a Game 7 in D.C. tomorrow with a 5-2 home win. The Yankees and Angels played to nearly 3 a.m. Eastern. The Yanks finally winning in 14 in Anaheim 4-3. A 6-1 win for the A's over the Rangers. The Rockies top the Nats 7-5. The Cardinals down the Brewers 13-5. And Red Sox righty Nathan Eovaldi to have loose bodies removed from his throwing elbow today. He's reportedly out 4 to 6 weeks, guys.
All right. Thank you,
champ.
Appreciate that.
Wash your hands.
Yes, please do. Please do. Which is something some people decide not to do.
That's a whole nother topic.
855-212-4227. Russell Wilson, his gift to his offensive lineman, and a new hairdo. And Odell Beckham Jr., a little Twitter meltdown. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS is your number to call. So, Russell Wilson, who put down that April, was it 15th, deadline on getting a new contract a week ago and got it.
Right.
Four-year, $140 million contract extension from the Seattle Seahawks, the quarterback, and 35 touchdowns, 7 picks this past year, nearly 3,500 yards passing through the air. So fresh off that deal, what did he get his offensive linemen?
What did he get?
Well, he gave them each $12,000 in Amazon stock and wrote him a letter, which was obtained by TMZ. Every Sunday we go to battle together. You sacrifice your physical and mental well-being to protect me, which in turn allows me to provide and care for my family. I'm gifting you and your family $12,000 worth of Amazon stock to help you better achieve your dreams. You have invested in my life. This is my investment into yours. Offensive line last year was atrocious. He was sacked 51 times. So
that's why he only gave him 12,000.
So 12,000 apiece for each offensive lineman on the Seahawks last year. It's a nice gift by Russell Wilson.
It's not bad.
I mean, it's a nice gift. Bad. 12 grand apiece.
Yeah. Gets me thinking, maybe we should do that here. You know, just for out of nowhere in the middle of summer, give Mike, Pete, Sam now's involved here. We got AB. Give these guys gifts, Moose. You know, like you know. Well, you're the quarterback, but yeah, I mean, the quarterback and the running back, they kind of would give a gift to the team.
Yes.
You know, maybe buy him a T-shirt or something.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Did you see the? Did you see?
Yes. No. Okay.
No. Did I'm you joking. See? So Wilson gives his offensive line, and each and every offensive lineman $12,000 a piece in Amazon stock, which is a nice gift. I mean, and Amazon's only going to go up and up in value.
Oh, they're running the world.
No question about it. And then you can have the continued storyline surrounding Jeopardy, right? James Holzhauer, 13 days he's got to run. Second highest total of all time. Nearly $1 million. He has earned in 13 days. Now, got to remember, these shows were filmed. I think they're 2 months back. They were filmed. I think, is it 2 months back?
Well, let's use the proper
February. So they were filmed in February.
It's in the can is the proper term.
Well, they were filmed. Too, well,
and they were
just,
taped.
Just hold on a second.
I just want to get the facts out.
They were filmed 2 weeks, 2 months back. So James Holzhauer, who's a gambler in Vegas, a professional handicapper, 13-day total. He's accounted for nearly $1 million, and I think on a couple of occasions he's had perfect Jeopardy games where he's gone 40 for 40 in clicking in, getting them correct, and also getting the final Jeopardy answer correct.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
Which is a crazy. It's insane.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's crazy. I'm very impressed. I just I never was good at Jeopardy.
35 years old.
Young guy.
35 years old, and he's had a couple of perfect games. The highest total is what? 2.5 million. I believe the guy Kenneth something, right?
I think it's 2.4 million.
Ken Jennings. 2.4 million.
2.45 million.
There you go. Nearly 2.5 million. So, 74 days. He's got nearly $1 million in 13 days.
Wow. Unbelievable. It's amazing.
Nearly $1 million in 13 days. And from what I understand, in terms of him being a professional handicapper out in Vegas, his big plays, he does a lot of in-game wagering. So what that means is when the game already gets going, they continue to have lines updated as the game does go
along. That's why it's called
in-game,
because the game's happening, right?
So the game has begun already, and he's laying money on games that are already in action. Not before game, during games, getting better odds. A lot of people believe that. Let me just finish. They believe that's better odds for the handicap.
I got
James Holzhauer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.